The scripture reading this morning is found in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we read the first 17 verses. We look at this passage with a view to the Lord's Supper this morning. John 15, verses 1 through 17, the text is verse 13. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. The text this morning is verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior speaks these words of John 15 the very night before he's going to lay down his life on the cross. It appears that here in John 15, Jesus and his disciples are still in the upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus has just finished instituting the Lord's Supper, and Jesus and his disciples still have to make their way through Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas Iscariot will betray Jesus. And so here they are in the upper room. But Jesus knows that his appointed time is near at hand. He knows that he will soon be sacrificed on the cross. And he knows that he will soon be leaving his disciples, not only by way of his death and the agonies of hell, but even after that, by his ascension into heaven. He knows that his time with his disciples is short. And so in these verses, in John 15, and really in the whole context of John 14 through 17, Jesus is comforting His disciples as He's about to leave them, and He's giving them words of instruction. Here in John 15, Jesus instructs His disciples to abide in Him. Even as He is about to leave them, they must continue to abide in Him and abide in His love. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love." And then in verse 10, "If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." And what is Jesus' commandment to His disciples? He says in verse 12, "This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Our love for one another must be like Jesus' love for us. He gives Himself as the great example of how we are to love. And He goes on in verse 13 and states, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The whole passage then that we read this morning could really serve as the text of an applicatory sermon. This is how we ought to live as the friends of Jesus Christ, by loving one another, even by laying down our lives for one another. Brothers and sisters in the church, loving each other, living our lives for each other's good. But this morning, our focus isn't going to be on us. It's not going to be on how we must love one another. Our focus this morning is going to be on Christ's great love for us. In the text, Jesus is clearly talking about His own great love for us, His friends. That love that came to ultimate expression on the cross, as His blood was shed and as His body was broken, that our debts might be paid and that we might be delivered from all our sins. And we see this morning how great Jesus' love is for us. And we see this morning how blessed it is for us to know that we are the friends of Jesus. We take as our theme this morning, no greater love. And we look at that theme under 3 points. Show love, a substitutionary love, and a particular love. No greater love, a sacrificial love, a substitutionary love, and a particular love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this. Well, that means, of course, that there are other loves. There are lesser loves. Oh, yes, there are other loves. There is the love of a friend for a friend. When a friend would set aside time to spend quality time with his friend and enjoy fellowship with his friend. That's an expression of love. There's the love of a friend for a friend when a friend would speak words of encouragement and words of kindness to his friend. There's the love of a friend for a friend when a friend would go out and even purchase a gift for a friend, perhaps, or make a meal for a friend, or send a card in the mail for a friend. But all these are lesser loves. They are lesser loves, after all, because these loves don't cost so much. But there are also greater loves. Greater loves, you might say, that cost more. There's the love of a friend for a friend when a friend would give up his own possessions, perhaps give up his car, or perhaps even give up his own house to help out his friend. That is a great love. There is the love of a friend for a friend when a friend would even admonish his friend of sin, admonishing him in love. And that is great love, because that kind of love risks becoming the object of anger and resentment. That too is great love. There is the great love of friends for friends when parents live for their children, their friends in Christ. And when parents give so much of their strength and effort and time raising their children, Yes, giving up almost all of their strength and all of their effort raising their children. That is great love. Yes, there are greater loves. And yet greater than all these loves, Jesus says, is this. That a man lay down his life for his friends. Why is that true? Why is this the greatest love? Because to give up one's life is to hold back nothing. It is to give up everything. If a man loses his life, there is nothing left of him. His time on earth, at least, is gone. It's done. To die for another person is utterly selfless. Well, a man may say many beautiful things. A man may even give many beautiful things. And a man may pretend much. But in the end, he might be in it only for himself. But there is no greater proof of the sincerity and intensity of one's love than if a man would actually lay down his life and lose his own life for his friend. That kind of love, truly, without a doubt, is a sacrificial love. Now, in that category of greatest love, there are different categories of love. There are lesser loves, there are greater loves, and there is this category of greatest love. And in this category of greatest love, we see that Christ laying down His life on the cross is the greatest expression of that kind of love. There is no greater expression of this greatest kind of love than Christ's death on the cross. And that's clear when we look at particularly three things. That's clear when we remember, first of all, the kind of life that Jesus laid down. Jesus was not just a man like you and me. Oh, He was a man, fully human. And that was great that He laid down even His earthly life for us. But Jesus was also very God. And the life that Jesus enjoyed was not just the breath of this life, not just the activity of this earthly life, but it was the enjoyment of life with God. Heavenly life. The life of perfect communion and friendship with God. And that was the life that Jesus laid down for His friends. He loved His God perfectly. He enjoyed His Heavenly Father, His Triune Father's smile perfectly. And He laid down that life in order to save His friends, you and me. The life that Jesus laid down was infinitely greater than any earthly life of this body. Second, Jesus' death on the cross was the greatest expression of this greatest love when we remember this, the kind of death that Jesus died. Again, Jesus did not die just a physical death, but Jesus suffered hell. He knew not just earthly death, but He knew what it was to be forsaken of the Father. He knew God's wrath. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood because He knew the kind of death that was coming to Him. And yet He still went through with it. He drank that cup to its very last drop because of His love for His friends. Well, it was not merely physical death that He endured. If that was all it was, well, that would be great too. But it would not be so great because others have also laid down their lives for their friends and suffered earthly death for their friends. But Jesus endured the death of hell, God's anger, God's punishing wrath against sin for His friends. Think of this. When a martyr dies and lays down his life for righteousness' sake and for Christ, and when a martyr is burned at the stake, or a martyr is torn apart limb from limb on the racks, or when a martyr is hanged at the gallows, that martyr can die in the joy of his salvation. He can die knowing His Father's smile rests upon him. He knows God's love is upon him. But when Jesus died, he didn't have any kind of comfort like that. Jesus was utterly forsaken. He experienced everything from the hand of God's wrath, so that he cried out in his agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His death was, in one sense, entirely different than the death even of a martyr, because his death was the punishing death for guilt and sin. Third, Jesus' death for his friends is the greatest possible expression of this kind of love, laying down one's life for his friend, because Jesus died willingly. Well, some might die for their friends, but they do it rather unwillingly. They would avoid it if they could. They do it with hesitance. If it were in their power, they would escape it. Well, it was in Jesus' power to escape this death. He had the power. When he was in chains, when he was being spat upon, even when they were nailing the spikes into his arms or his wrists or his hands, Jesus had the power to escape from that death and the greater death of hell. But notice this. This is why he came. That's why he gave up his Father's smile. That's why he took upon himself our lowly life, that he might suffer and die for us, his friends. No man, congregation, no man has ever laid down his life like that. Oh yes, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How much infinitely greater is that love when it is God Himself who lays down His life, when it is God Himself who sheds His own blood for His people. Let us then never doubt Jesus' love for His people. Let us then never doubt God's love for us, but remember His sacrifice on the cross. Oh yes, greater love hath no man than this, that a man dies forsaken of God for his friends. May God be thanked that we are never called upon to do that. Jesus' love for his friends is a sacrificial love. But then we must also see this, that Jesus' love for his friends was also a substitutionary love. And by that I mean this, that it was such a great love that Jesus had for his friends that he was motivated by that very love to stand in the place of his people, to substitute himself in their place. And there's no greater love than that. The word "for" in the text captures this idea. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that word "for" means this, in the place of, in the stead of, or instead of his friends. His friends are going to die, and he stands in their place. He stands instead, in the stead of them. What this verse teaches us lies at the very heart of the gospel. Substitutionary atonement. Jesus died in our place as our substitute in order to pay our debts, in order to make atonement, in order to make covering for our sins and die the death that we deserved. Because of our sins, we were liable to punishment. God's justice demands that the breaking of His law be met with punishment. For God Himself has said that the wages of sin is death. But Christ took our place as our head and representative and took the punishment upon Himself. So that in Galatians 3 verse 13 we read, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So that as we read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, what this teaches us is this. Jesus did not just die, but Jesus died and Jesus laid down His life under the charge of being guilty before the law. He died in humiliation and shame. He died as a criminal before the law. Do you see the difference, congregation? It is one thing to die for someone, but it is another thing to go to the electric chair for someone. It is one thing to die for someone, to see someone perhaps in the way of traffic and to jump in the way of traffic and push them out of the way and perhaps get hit by an oncoming vehicle in the process and dying. Well, that's one way to die for someone else. But then you die a hero. Then you might die with some glory in your death. But Jesus didn't die like that. Jesus died for criminals. Jesus died for those who deserved the electric chair. Yes, look at those criminals for whom Jesus died. Enemies of God by nature, ungodly by nature, and lawless. And even the night when Jesus was betrayed, how did those friends treat Him? They were offended at Him. They ran away from Him, and one of His friends even openly denied and with cursing denied that Jesus even was his friend. Yes, Romans 5, verses 7 and 8 puts it well. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. For a man who's done good, someone might die, who is righteous. For a man who is a decent man, someone might even be willing to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were criminals, while we had it justly coming to us to be put to death, He died for us. And that exactly shows how great His love is. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for those who are criminals, and even for those who have cruelly sinned against Him and hated Him, and even with their own sins nailed Him to the cross, whom He nevertheless continually calls His friends. Now remember what kind of a suffering it was, what kind of a death it was, death that we deserved, death that Jesus suffered. It's safe to say that the lost souls in hell do not experience the kind of sufferings that Jesus suffered. And that's true, perhaps for a number of reasons, but that's true particularly for this reason. The ungodly suffer in hell all the while hating God. But Jesus suffered in hell all the while loving His God. Loving His God perfectly, as His Father, with all His heart, with all His soul, mind, and strength. He was good. Of all people, Jesus was sinless. And yet He was brought to know God's wrath upon Him. And yet He willingly substituted Himself and laid down His life and suffered for those very criminals who had sinned against Him. All the while suffering, all the while loving them perfectly with a perfect love too, continually calling them His friends, even as He suffered for their sins. Yes, congregation, for such friends, even as us. It is a wonder, is it not? In all the wide universe, in all the starry sky, who are we? But specks of dust. Tiny specks of dust. Specks of dust which have sinned against God. and made ourselves the enemies of God and criminals. What are we? And who are we that God in Christ should freely choose to lay down His life for us? How unworthy we are. Why should He have loved us? Answer me that, congregation. Why should He have loved us? Why should He have loved me and laid down His life for me? Why should He have loved you and laid down His life for you? Me, who even now do not treat Him like the perfect and loving friend that He is. I would still be a criminal in the sight of the law. I would still be under bondage to death and even spewing out hatred against God. But He has ransomed my soul. Now, why do I not love Him more than I do? And why do I not love His church and His people and then my brothers and sisters as He calls me to? And yet He calls me friend. And yet He calls you friend. And that's why He calls us to the Lord's Supper this morning. So that we might know we are His friends. So that we might remember we are His friends. He calls us so that we might never doubt it. He's paid too great a price for us to doubt and question His love for us. That's why He tells us Himself, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then what does He do? Less than 24 hours later, He lays down His life for His friends. Christ's love for us, His people, is a substitutionary love. This becomes all the more clear when we notice this about Jesus' love. It is a particular love. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's especially where the comfort comes. Christ didn't die on the cross for a nameless mass of people. He did not die to make atonement for the sins of each individual of the human race, head for head. He did not even want to do that. That was not His purpose in dying. No, Christ died for His friends. He died for people with names, particular people. That's the truth of particular atonement, the truth of limited atonement. This is the Reformed faith, congregation. Jesus Christ gave up His life for His friends. When Jesus died on the cross, congregation, it was for you. He died with you on His mind. He said, "I lay down my life for my friends in Randolph Protestant Reformed Church. With all the saints over the length and breadth of the earth. For Adam and Eve, for Seth, for Enoch, for Moses, for David, for Elijah, for John the Baptist, for Peter, for James and John, for Paul, for all His people." And He said this too, "For mine elect in Randolph, whom I will gather in due time, I suffer and I die for them. For they are my friends, and they are the friends of God. From all eternity, I have called them my friends, and now I die for them as my friends." And now this morning, congregation, the risen Lord and Savior calls you, His friends, to come and sit and dine with Him, to be nourished in your souls, and to enjoy His friendship, and to enjoy the assurance that you are His friends, and to enjoy the assurance of His love, of God's love for you, and to enjoy the assurance that your sins have been completely blotted out through His shed blood, and you are His friends. And you are God's friends through Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. what a God we have who loves us and who gave Himself for us. Amen.